The family of Lyra McKee has said no stone will be left unturned to get justice after three men were found not guilty of her murder. Nicola Corner, the sister of Miss McKee, also called for an end to the culture of silence in Northern Ireland, which meant people did not come forward with information about the killing. Miss McKee, 29, died after being hit by a bullet as she stood close to police vehicles while observing disturbances in the Creggan area of Derry on the 18th of April 2019. The Assistant General Secretary of the National Union of Journalists is Seamus Dooley, and he joins us now. Hi, Seamus.
Hey, good morning, Greg. Yeah.
I mean, your reaction to the outcome of this trial, Seamus?
Well, I was with the family and friends of Lyra on Friday, and of course, sharing their devastation. We had hoped for a safe and secure commitment. We find ourselves in strange territory in that the judge emphatically determined that Lyra McKee was murdered. And that has been overlooked in the coverage of the case because three people who were charged with murder were not convicted. We also know that the gunman has never been charged with the murder. In the immediate aftermath of the murder, Seiriú described it as a killing, and the new IRA described it as an accident. And you know, my own view this morning is that there is a murder victim, and there is now an onus on the new IRA and indeed on Seiriú to come forward and acknowledge that murder and to call for the person responsible for killing Lyra McKee to come forward. And they can't have it both ways. They're celebrating the fact that there is no guilty verdict by the court, but simultaneously they are still maintain on social media posts that this was some sort of accident. It wasn't. It was a deliberate killing, and the court has determined that.
What's Lyra's family's reaction to this verdict, Seamus, having had to, you know, endure this trial for as long as they did?
The trial lasted over 2 years, and it was prolonged. It was a re-traumatising of the events on the night, and they are therefore devastated. Seiriú, who was with her, her partner had to look at the footage, had to listen to the cries of Lyra, but also to hear to see her own scream, see herself screaming, to hear her screams as her partner was killed. This is horrific, and there is no justification for the actions. Also, the court found that no one could be convicted. One person only was convicted in connection with the riot, and the riot was a staged event which led to the shooting. And the judge actually described the shooting at the end as a finale to what was effectively a display of strength. And this isn't the Derry or the Northwest that I know, but yet there is, I think Seiriú feels very strongly on that, there is a conspiracy of silence. I would say a conspiracy of silence enforced by fear by a small group of people. And there was at times a menacing and toxic atmosphere around the trial. On Friday, associates of those on trial photographed journalists, filmed journalists, as they entered the building. There was an attempt to intimidate journalists covering the trial, and very little respect was shown to the family of Lyra McKee by people who had the audacity to apologise for what they described as an accident. So, of course, the family are devastated. And I'm not confident that they're can be a further conviction secured without those in positions of power and influence in whom I don't have a great deal of trust. But without their cooperation, I can't see someone coming forward. Father Joe McVeigh in Derry, who was present on the night, has called for people to come forward. It's very difficult to be optimistic, but Lyra herself was famous for her saying that things can only get better. It won't always be like this, and it's very difficult to try to capture that spirit. But in the face of the most depressing of verdicts, you know, in terms purely of the emotion and the at the end of a very long road, I can see the family trying to to see is there any light that can be gained.
It's incredibly difficult for the family, obviously, as they work through their loss of Lyra, but also, you know, not having answers, which is incredibly difficult, and also not knowing if a person they walk past on the street is the person responsible for this.
Well, I think the problem with the verdict is, and I'm being careful here because
respect the
judgment of the court, but that doesn't stop us from criticising it. The reality is that in each case, first of all, I mean, it was very traumatic, to use the word again, because the judge determined that Lyra McKee had been murdered. And that in itself might seem a statement of the obvious, but there was an attempt to present it as something that was not intentional. So the family would have got relief from that. There was then a brief adjournment, and when she came back, she went through all of the different, remember there were 9 people on various charges, only 3 on murder. And in each case, she referred to the likelihood that the individuals concerned were present, the likelihood that they were guilty. But at the end, then there was that though it was circumstantial evidence, and therefore it didn't meet the burden of proof. So that makes it really difficult for the family to accept that the judge is talking about near certainty. And then, but, you know, in saying that there is a burden of truth. There was no jury, of course. Mm-hmm. This is the legacy of the old Diplock court system, which arose in itself because of fear of intimidation by paramilitary groups. And it's difficult to speculate as to whether a jury might have applied a different set of criteria. And for the family and friends and colleagues, there is always the what if. The lines of Billy Bragg came to me as I left the court, which where he once, in one of his songs, he says, this ain't justice, it's the law. The law was applied and the law has been applied, but the notion that this somehow grants justice to anyone is not something that will be accepted.
Yeah, and you talked of, you know, people with direct knowledge maybe having a conscience and coming forward with information. The wall of silence, I think the family were referencing as well, is the fact that, you know, some reports of up to 150 people may have witnessed this event or the events surrounding this shooting, and no one's come forward. Or not enough
have
come forward.
Come forward. Yeah. Well, no one has come forward with sufficient evidence to secure a safe conviction. And there was a menacing atmosphere within the city of Derry in the immediate aftermath. One of Lyra's great crusades was to ensure that young men and women of her generation, the post Good Friday generation, would not be lured down a sectarian path by the older generation with a failed ideology. And ironically, she has become a victim of that ideology. And I think her challenge to us would be to say, what are you doing about it? Derry continues to be the poor relation in the Northwest in terms of Stormont. There is a feeling that young people are still alienated in Derry, and I think that Lyra's commitment to journalism, and she was an amazing journalist, a young journalist, was to try to look under the bonnet to see, well, what's the cause of this? And I'm not confident that you can sort of prick the conscience of the older generation, but there are people there undoubtedly who know what happened, who was responsible, who ordered the killing. And again, I repeat the challenge, having apologised in the first instance and acknowledged their fault, albeit for an accident, CERU, you know, signed itself as a political party, and also then the new IRA, and they of course denied the connections, need to come forward and say, yes, the court now has ruled that there was a murder. If you accept the verdict in the first instance, then you also, there's a logic in dealing with the murder verdict. Mm. But over the weekend, I had to lodge private complaints on X about homophobic slurs and insults to the memory of Lyra McGee from sources that I recognise as being close to some of those involved.
Yeah.
There was a celebratory tone on Facebook and X from some people. Lessons have not been learned, but there is no victory in this for anyone. There is no victory in a verdict which leaves so many questions unanswered.
Very finally, are there any questions to be asked about proceeding with this trial? Because, you know, I'm not saying anyone could have necessarily predicted the outcome, but the evidence was there. It would have to have gone to the DPP or equivalent. And, of course, because of that, we had this trial that lasted in excess of 2 years with this outcome. Are there any questions in that regard from your perspective or the families, for that matter, Seamus?
Well, I don't speak for the family.
No, I know, but just in case you happen to have got wind of what they might have said.
Yeah, I think it is important to say that. But my own view, I mean, there is a lesser burden of proof on the public prosecution office than there is on the judge. And they were satisfied on the basis of the evidence gathered that there was a case to answer. Listening, the full judgment is not yet available, but when you read it, it's very dense. It is highly technical. But you know, there was very clear evidence to justify the DPP or the Office of Public Prosecution bringing the case in the first instance. Mm-hmm. It would have been a travesty not to do so. And it was the view was, both in terms of the murder, but also in terms of the riot, that this was effectively a communal, not the legal term, but effectively a communal responsibility, a shared responsibility, and that even though you didn't have someone who fired the shot, that there were people who appeared to be those, the people charged, appeared to be on film, appeared to be the ones who were encouraging and helping to direct what took place. The evidence, you know, it was all circumstantial, and we know from many criminal cases that circumstantial evidence can be very dangerous. Therefore, the judges always err on the side of caution. And, of course, it's highly technical analysis, pretty much frame by frame.
Yep.
And that's why it was so difficult for the family to sit through that process. And halfway through the trial, more or less, there was an application to have the entire trial collapse. Because of what was a perceived weakness in the identification, and the Lady Chief Justice decided to proceed and to give her judgment at the end.
Mm.
So that all of that made it extremely difficult for the family, who have shown remarkable resilience and who were there along with Sarah and with people like filmmaker Alison Miller, you know, engaged fully with the process, are still, you know, left to ponder what are their next steps, and I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
We tend to use the phrase justice for Lyra the same as we do justice for Martin O'Hagan. We now have two journalists killed in Northern Ireland with no one convicted. But ultimately, justice has already been denied because a young, talented journalist was deprived of the right to grow old and live and love and learn and teach us so much.
And ironically, work for the
going to teach us.
Work for the betterment of Derry, which she loved so much. Seamus, thanks for your time.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, my other thought, Greg, okay, was at the end of the week, was she was a member of the LGBT community who had a lot to say about the DUP, and I knew her not very well and wouldn't claim personal friendship, but I did know her and I followed her very work closely, and I thought her voice was missed during the whole Jeffrey Donaldson thing, because she would have had so much to say about the hypocrisy and would have relished the journalistic challenge of following all of that. But we miss her, and we miss her so often, and our thoughts are with her family and friends.
Yeah, for sure, and we'll join with you in that. Thank you, Seamus. Seamus Dooley there, who's Assistant General Secretary of the National Union of Journalists.